thing that I keep finding God bringing me back to is not necessarily, okay, if you want to be the best you, then you need to develop this particular set of skills, or maybe you need to do this, or maybe you need to do that. You know what God keeps bringing me back to? If you want to be the best you, then you're going to have to keep working on your character and your integrity. Your character and your integrity. I could be able to fly an airplane with one hand and my eyes closed, and while quoting great poetry, and have terrible character, and it mean absolutely nothing. Or I could just be an average man who maybe nobody knows anything about, but if my character is strong, if my integrity is real, then you know what? I'm a good person. I'm a person, a quality person. And I tend to find, unfortunately, I find this in church a lot, I find a lot of people who profess Christ, but they don't really have Christ where he needs to be, really deep inside of him. And so, unfortunately, some of the stereotypes are not stereotypes when they talk about Christianity, and they say some of the meanest people you'll ever meet are Christians. You know, I don't know why? Because there's a character issue. But when we really begin to allow God to have his way on this idea of our integrity and say, Lord, work on my character, boy, there's some things that begin to change. But here's the problem. I found this about that prayer, is that God is really, really nosy. Really, really nosy. And the parts of you that you want to not allow him into, those are usually the parts that he comes storming into. Integrity is derived from the word integer, which means the complete entity. So when we talk about integrity, we are talking about everything that we are and everything that we are not. When you want integrity and you want to pray, God, give me your integrity, you cannot hold pieces of yourself away from him. You have to allow your whole being to be exposed. That's why David would pray prayers like, search me, O Lord. Why? Because I really don't know what's inside of me. Sometimes it's shocking to see that things that people do that are just horrendous. And people say, I never thought that about them. I never thought that they would do something like that. And this is the thing about humanity. We have this incredible capacity to do the most stupid things and the most destructive things and not even really have it planned. Because the Bible says that there's wickedness inside of us. And that's why we have to constantly be in this process of laying our lives before the Lord. But here's the thing that I started to pray, and one of the things that really has been striking me, and the title of this message today is called Shortcuts. Because there is the reason that we start to find our integrity being compromised is when we start to cut corners in our life and we start to take shortcuts. Give me that definition up here about shortcuts. This is what a shortcut is. A method or a procedure, a policy, etc., that reduces the time or energy needed to accomplish something. Now, on the surface, many of us would look at that and say, well, that's pretty good. When I'm driving from point A to point D, I like to find a shortcut so that I can get there faster. And, you know, there's a point to that. That's nice when you're on the road. But when you're in real life, when you are in this day-to-day grind of the human existence, let me give you just one little thought. There really are no shortcuts. Last night, I was watching my beloved New York Yankees. And we are having a surprising season because at the beginning of the year, I thought this was just going to be a waste of time and by All-Star break, I'd be ready for football. But we're 5.5 games up. God is good. And he is a Yankee fan, if you don't know that. Last night, one of their players, Alex Rodriguez, hit three home runs, had a hat trick last night. 3 home runs. Now, here's the thing. The problem with Alex Rodriguez, and most of you know a little bit about him, is that Alex Rodriguez has a history of taking shortcuts to get to greatness. He's approaching the all-time number for home runs. Recently, he bypassed the 660 mark, which I believe was Willie Mays. And you know what? The New York Yankees did absolutely nothing to celebrate the accomplishment. Because behind every feat, there's the asterisk that says, you took a shortcut. And we do not believe that what we see with our eyes is real. Now, you can put that on a big scale with Alex Rodriguez, but, well, come on, let's break this down to you and me. When people look at you, do they really believe that what they see is real? Let's look at our text for a minute, because I want to show you, and then I'm going to break this down for just a minute, and you guys can follow me. But in our text in 1 Samuel chapter 24, and we're going to read the first 7 verses, we see a situation where David, and you guys remember David and his mighty men, David and his mighty men were being chased by Saul all over Israel, and Saul's main purpose was to catch David. And what was he going to do when he catch him? He was going to kill him. But the Lord had promised David that he was going to take care of him and that he was going to deliver him from Saul. And we find in this little piece of text, we find Saul in a very precarious position. And if you know, sometimes we think that the Bible doesn't get as graphic as it does, but you'll see here that Saul has a bodily function that he needs to take care of. And let's pick up our text. When Saul came back from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David was in the wilderness near En-Gedi. Saul took 3,000 of his best soldiers in Israel, and they went looking for David and his men east of Wild Goat Rocks. Now, he came to a cave close to some sheep pens by the road, and the Bible, and yes, it does say this, he went in to relieve himself. It happened to be the very cave in which David and his men were hiding far back in the cave. He came, but then David, all of a sudden, let's go to the Bible. This is what happens when you work with modern technology. Do we have it there? Ah, there you go. Thank you. My notes don't have it, but the PowerPoint does. They said to him, ready? This is your chance. This is your chance. David and his mighty men had been being chased all over. They were tired of running, and they knew that the Lord had promised them to be deliverance. And they're sitting there, and they say, hey, this is it. We've got Saul in a very vulnerable position. And I imagine any man in this room would right now could say, yeah, that's a pretty vulnerable position. I would not want to be facing an enemy in Saul's spot. The Lord has told you that he would put your enemy in your power, and you could do to him whatever you wanted to. Doesn't this look like God coming through for them? We've got Saul vulnerable. We've got him where he cannot defend himself. It's hard to feel like a mighty man when you're going to the bathroom. David crept over and cut off a piece of Saul's robe without Saul even knowing it. But then David, here it is, look at it. But then David's conscience began to hurt. And he said to this men, may the Lord keep me from doing any harm to my master, whom the Lord chose as king. I must not harm him in the least, because he is the king chosen by the Lord. So David convinced his men that they should not attack Saul. Saul got up and left the cave and started away. It hit me in this text that David had the opportunity to take a shortcut. David could have ended it all right then, but that was not God's plan. And even the little cutting of a corner, because this is really what David did. He cut a corner. He just wanted to show Saul, if I wanted to do this to you, I could have done this to you. So he clips the corner. But the thing is, it didn't take David very long to start getting very bothered by what he had done. He was bothered by it. And the difference between us growing in integrity and our integrity sliding is that when we no longer are bothered by cutting corners, when we are no longer bothered by the shortcuts that we try to take. Because you know why you take shortcuts? And why I take shortcuts? And why I cut corners? It's for one reason. It's because you want to make yourself look better. When I'm cutting corners, I want people to think higher of me. I want to claim something that I haven't earned. I want to be somebody that I haven't put the time and energy into becoming. A.W. Tozer, the great Christian Missionary Alliance writer, once said this. He said, if you go to church once a week, no one pays attention. If you serve God 7 days a week, you're considered strange. Let me say it one more time. You go to church once a week, nobody pays attention. You serve God 7 days a week, they think you're strange. You know why they think you're strange? Because you start acting in a manner that's befitting the King that resides inside of you. And when we are following the King that lives inside of us, every time we cut a corner to make ourselves look better, our conscience is bothered. Because the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is resting right there beside you and saying, is that really the person that you want to be? The more we serve God and have Spirit-led lives, the less that we can accept this in ourselves. The more that we begin to focus on, my integrity means more than this shortcut to get something that I have yet to earn. Conviction. People, it must become our friend. The conviction of the Holy Spirit must be our best friend. It's not an enemy in our life. It is a warning from God that if you do this, there's dire consequences. If you do this, the outcome is not going to be something that's profitable to your life. Conviction should become the force that keeps us from actions that can be devastating to us and quite often those that are around us. This is the thing that as I've been praying, I've said, Lord, I really want to be everything that you've created me to be. I want to be the man that you've created me to be. And as I said when I began this, that's the reason the Lord keeps coming back to, not, Philip, you need to get better at preaching, or you need to be better at singing, or you need to be better at auto mechanics, or you need to have a better character and a better integrity. And the only way there is you can't cut corners. You've got to do the whole thing. You ask, what are shortcuts? What are the corners that we cut? Let me tell you what they are. They're the small things in your life that you don't think matter. It's the small things. It's the little foxes in your life that you don't think matter. The time you fudge the figures on your taxes. The time that you took extra change when it was given to you by a store clerk and you considered a blessing from God. The day you sat down and filled out your resume. And you created a piece of fiction. Those untruths that you told a friend or a relative about how amazing your children are and all the accomplishments that they achieve, knowing that, how about the time you bought an outfit to wear from one night, knowing full well you were taking it back in the morning?
nervous laughter.
Or maybe it's the flirting that you're starting to look forward to with somebody that's not your spouse. Cutting corners. I'm not going to keep you long today because I want you to think. When we cut corners, we open ourselves to some things. And I got a couple points that I just want to leave you with. When you start down the road of cutting corners, the first thing I want you to say to you is this. If you cheat on small things, bigger things are not far away. If you cheat on small things, church, bigger things aren't far away. I got Bible for this. Ready? The Bible says this in Luke chapter 6. Whoever is faithful in small things will be faithful in large ones. Whoever is disobedient in small matters will be disobedient in large ones. The Bible speaks about our conscience. It speaks about it that when we begin to do wrong, and what starts out as that road often doesn't think, we don't see that what we're doing is going to take us from here all the way over to here when we take those little steps. That's why the shortcuts, the cutting of corners, is so dangerous in our life. Because what it does, you begin to be desensitized. And every step gets a little easier because, you know, when I took that little step, hey, you know what? Nothing happened. Took this next little step. Hey, nothing happened. I'm okay. Everything's all right where I'm at. And you don't even realize how close you are to the edge until finally you take a step and you fall off the edge. And people think that stuff has been happening. And we look at the extreme and we see the outcome and we see where the person has ended up. And we think, oh my goodness, how in the world did they get there? And never realizing that they had been slow stepping their way there for months. My wife and me were talking about some folks that we know that recently got divorced. And almost immediately, the woman moved in with an old high school boyfriend. And we were talking about this, and my wife brought it up, and she basically said, you know what? I think this guy was probably involved well before. Probably one of those situations. Let me check up on an old boyfriend on Facebook. I want to see how he's doing. Let me check up on that old girlfriend back from high school, from college. See where I'm going. We live in a dangerous world, my brothers and sisters. We have more access to shortcuts and cutting corners than we've ever had before in our life. You know how many marriages have ended over Facebook? Twitter? Twittered your way right into divorce court. Because when conviction started to speak, we stopped listening. When conviction started to say, hey, you don't need to be doing this. We were so far down the road that we couldn't even hear it. If you cheat on small things, my brothers and sisters, it's only a moment away from when it becomes something bigger. Here's the second thing I want to say to you. We need to learn to respond to conviction instead of waiting for the consequences. We have to start learning to respond to the conviction instead of waiting for the consequences. Because by the time you've gotten to the consequences, now you're into the damage zone. And it may not just be damage to you. It may be damage to your marriage, damage to your children, damage to your reputation. You know, I'm reminded of this woman who just recently headed the NAACP out in Spokane, Washington. And all of a sudden we find out that she's been playing like she was a black woman. Until we get a hold of her pictures and we find out she was about as black as I am Chinese. Blonde hair, blue-eyed girl. And I remember hearing a commentator say something that her problem was she wanted a shortcut because it would have been much harder for her to be accepted in her own race. But if she had really put the work in, she could have been so much more effective because she would have been a person who was standing up for things that were really important, who many people would say, you don't need to do this. And she would be able to say, but oh, yes, I do, because this is injustice and I'm standing for injustice. But instead, she tried to cut a corner. And so now she's a national joke. Her career is over. You ever think anybody's going to give her a shot again at a position like that? No. You see it almost once a month. Once, I don't know. You see it frequently. The person in a high position who suddenly has to resign because somebody went back and looked at their resume and found out, hey, you know what? You lied on your resume. You did not have the expertise. You did not have the education. You told everybody that you went to Harvard and you went to OCC. And you didn't even graduate from OCC. So now there's consequences. But the thing is about those consequences, you know, I was listening to an interview. I know some of you guys are probably going to remember this. Just happened a few years ago. It's a basketball coach at Rutgers. You guys remember this guy? On video camera. Was caught throwing a basketball repeatedly at his players, cursing them out, treating these kids just like, you know, dogs. Within a short time of that video being released, he was out of a job. You know what, in the interview, he said the hardest thing that for him, it wasn't losing the job. It was facing his wife and children after he lost the job. And you know what he was doing? He was cutting corners. He cut a corner that instead of teaching young men what he wanted, and even if they didn't deliver, still treating them with respect. He let his anger, because he wanted his anger to somehow fuel them instead of putting the time in to actually teaching. Because you know what? Teaching takes longer than intimidating. We've been praying, and we talk a lot about this in this church, about lives led by the Holy Spirit. And I believe it is the essential component to the Christian faith, but there are so many other pieces to it. And one of those is that the Holy Spirit must give us a life that is formed in conviction. You start cutting corners in your life, you stop having the same convictions. You stop having the same things that bother you. Like David was bothered when he cut that piece of cloth. He didn't injure Saul. He didn't try to kill Saul. All he did was cut a little piece of cloth off of his cloak. And just that very act bothered David so much that he stopped everything and said, no, let him go. We've done too much. I will not touch my master. God didn't tell me that it was my job to take out Saul. He said he would deal with him. And what I just did in the cutting of this corner, this I see as a sin. How many of us actually could be honest with ourselves and look and say, you know what? Sometimes those corners that I cut, they really were sins. It was a sin. It wasn't, oh, that doesn't matter. God knows my heart. Oh, yes, he does know your heart. Embarrassment may make you stop something, but conviction will make you eliminate it. Embarrassment, you may stop something, but when we really have conviction on something, it's eliminated from our life. And I find this particular aspect of this message something that I've been praying over and over. I pray for myself. God, I don't just want embarrassment to be the reason that I don't do something. I want it to be because of conviction. So that when I'm presented with an opportunity, I'm not there saying, oh yeah, I can cut this corner in my life. I can do this little shortcut over here because, you know, it'll get me what I want. Many times I think that's the shortcut. It'll get me what I want. I'm lonely. So let me date Joe. Let me date Sally. And when we really get down to it, they have absolutely nothing to offer us that is going to help us grow as a Christian. But you know what? I'm lonely. So I'm going to take the shortcut. I'm going to cut the corner because God knows that I'm lonely and doesn't want me to be lonely. One time saying to this church, how many times have people gone to bed with some guy thinking they went to bed with Isaac and woke up and found out they had another Ishmael? Because the corner was there and I wanted what was on the other side and I wasn't willing to wait for God to do what God wanted to do. I ask this question of you. When the Holy Spirit convicts, do you listen? When the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, are you listening? See, in the beginning, it's nothing but an edge. Maybe it's just a small corner that you're cutting. It's that small rush of excitement that you feel as you cut the corner, that ends up leading to the big fall with damaging consequences that may never really heal in your life. I love God, and I love how he can keep you, and I love how God can turn really ugly situations into something beautiful, but let us be honest with each other. Some things leave scars. Some things will leave scars in your life. And even though God is with you, and even though God is for you, you have just created one more thing in your life that you are going to have to struggle to overcome that didn't need to happen. If I had listened to conviction, I wouldn't have this heartache, and I wouldn't have created this heartache. If I just listened to God speak to me, no, I went around the corner. I cut the corner. I took the shortcut. And you know what? I fell. And God was just and faithful to forgive me, and I'm so thankful that I'm able to stand. But I got scars that I didn't need to have. And I created scars. I heard a story of a drug dealer. I got that wrong. I heard the story of a captain of a ship who was approached by some drug dealers. And they came to him and they said this to him. They said, listen, we want to put something on your ship. We're just going to put it on there. You don't have to look at it. You don't have to touch it. We'll take care of it. When you get to your port, we'll send guys in and we'll pull it off. You never have to touch it. And for this, we're going to give you $500,000. The captain sent back word. He said, no, I'm not doing that. Not going to do that. They came back to him again after another trip and said, listen, same deal. We'll give you $1 million. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. They came back to him another time. And they said, listen, $2 million. You don't have to, you'll never touch this thing. Your hands will never touch it. There'll be no way of tracking this to you. $2 million so that we can put this package on your ship. Captain again said, no, not going to do it. One more time they came back to him and they said, this is our deal. We will give you $3 million if you will allow us to put the package on your ship. At this point, the captain went to the FBI and told them what was going on. They set up a sting operation, and they were able to capture the drug dealers as a result of the captain's actions. The captain was asked this question by an FBI agent. They said, why didn't you come to us at $500,000? Why didn't you come to us when they first started? Why did you wait till $3 million was offered? The captain looked at him and he said, because they were getting very close to my price. They were getting very close to my price. What can you be bought for? This may be a little bit of a heavy message for, we're going to go have a picnic, but I may be giving somebody something today that could save your life, could save a marriage, could save you at work. When something bothers you, you know what that is? That's God's alarm system. When you start to even contemplate doing something and it bothers you, that's God's alarm system. Don't do that. No. Don't do that. You don't want to go there. My discovery in all of this is simply this. God only anoints truth. He can't anoint those corners that you cut. He only anoints truth. I believe that one of the greatest things and the places that we can ever come is that when we have a life where we really just have nothing to hide, when our life is something that there's no hiding in it. And this has been my prayer. I'm really asking God, Lord, I don't want to have any hiding in my life. If I have to delete text messages because I don't want my wife to find out, you know what that means? I'm hiding. Clear your internet browser every time you get off your computer. We could go on and on, okay? We don't need to. Integrity is when I don't have anything to hide. And I'll tell you something. It's a life process. Nobody here has it. Nobody here has it all worked out. The difference is this. Do you feel the conviction? When you go across that line, when you cross that corner, when you take that shortcut, if not, man, we really need to pray. God, whatever you got to do, Lord, I got to feel conviction again. make me sensitive. Come on, Priscilla. What is your price? Have you ever really thought about it? I'm going to ask everyone to close your eyes. I really do feel the Lord here. Lord, I got to run this meeting. Otherwise, I'd be in this altar right now myself. Because, God, I know it's hard, Father, to maybe admit, but there's truth in this for everyone. Lord, my integrity and my character, it's all I really have as a man. It's all we really have as women. And the devil works so hard, God, to compromise it. We need the conviction. We need lives led by conviction, Lord. I'm going to ask right now if while I was speaking, and listen, there's no judgment here. I don't want anybody looking at somebody's if they stand in this moment, because I believe this. The Bible says if we bring stuff into the light, you know what? It no longer has power. It's when it's in the darkness that it has power. But when we bring things into the light, you know what? Then it no longer can have that power. But I want to ask any person in this room that I've been speaking this morning, maybe God has been speaking to you about some corners. I'm just going to ask you to stand real quick. Please. Oh, yeah. That's it. Don't be looking and wondering, wow, I wonder what their corner is. You probably got some in your own life. As Priscilla begins to play, I'm going to ask you guys, wherever you are, that if you stood, I want you to come. We're going to pray together. Those of you that are standing in the back, I want you to come to your feet too and begin to pray with me as we pray that, oh Lord, come on, those of you that are standing. New day, new day. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Can you guys stand in the back and just begin to stretch your hand out as we pray? Father, in your name. In your name, in your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're in this altar, I just ask you to lift your hands to the Lord and just begin to pray. Lord, I need a fresh touch from you, Lord. Father God, the work that you have begun in me, Lord, I know, God, you promised me that you'll complete it, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. One more time. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Father, I just close this meeting now, Lord. And I sense your spirit here, Lord. Father, I just ask, God, in my own life and in the members of this church today, that, God, we would experience not just a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, Lord, but we would receive an understanding of what it means to be filled with your Spirit. That living a life of conviction, God, is as much a part of being filled with your Spirit as praying for the sick and seeing them healed. And so, God, I pray for ears to hear and a sensitivity in our heart. I pray, Lord, that if there's areas in our life that we've gotten comfortable in that really are not of God, that this week, Lord, we would have that sense that as David did, this is wrong. This is wrong. I'm bothered by this. I'm not, no more. This isn't right. Because my integrity and my standing in Christ is more important than whether my friends think I'm cool, whether people think I'm strange, whatever it may be, God. Lord, you're calling us to a higher place. I feel that in this, in the word of the Lord. You're calling us to a new level. And you only get into new levels with new truth. So pour out your Spirit now. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. He's good, isn't he? Amen. Y'all still love me?